Well, God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who grants us the forgiveness of our sins. Our text is going to come to us, as I tried to read it for us today the best I could. It's from John chapter 2, where we're seeing Jesus get that cord and get rid of the people's thoughts and ideas that were all about themselves and change that place into the temple. And we're going to talk just a little bit of what he was talking about as you go along here. But as we look at this public act of John, it's the first public act that we see in the Gospel of St. John, where he's actually getting into the public and do everything else was just kind of more between him and his disciples and things like that. But now he opens himself up to everyone's opinions, everyone's ideas, everyone's thoughts, and he's carrying a whip. It was an amazing thing for Jesus to do, for John to record this as these first acts along the way. And there's some debate about this, because you probably may remember that the cleansing of the temple, a very familiar story in the scriptures, is three other times as well, in both Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have them at the end of the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. John has this one tucked away right at the very beginning. So the debate is, are they the same action or are they two different actions that took place? And so that intrigued me. So you're going to have to bear with me this morning, because I went into the debates and looked at all of the historic writers and the commentators that said it's two different things, and all the ones that are saying it was the same event but just handled differently, not chronologically. And I came up with all of my wisdom, all of my theological training, and I came to the correct answer. It doesn't matter, right? What matters is Jesus. What matters is what he is doing in that situation and how we apply it into our lives. We get to that question not so much about the house of the Lord, but what is God doing in me? And how is it coming out of me? What is happening in the new temple? The new temple is what we're going to talk about. What's going on with this? Jesus is pointing out the temple of the Lord. And he's saying, it's us. Come. He invites us. Remember, he invited us into the wilderness. Come into the wilderness. Oh, I don't know, Jesus. I kind of like my hotel church. I like it like this, 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 and this. I want comfort. I want service. I want everything to be cozy for me. I like my restaurant church. I want good service and nice people and to take care of everything I have. Well, enter that wilderness, or like last week, come follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. And now Jesus beckons, come on in to the temple. Now, we naturally think of a place. But as we get to the point of the disciples, we discover this temple is something totally different. Because what John does right up in the beginning of this text is he points us to the crucifixion of Jesus. He says, I want everyone to start thinking what my major goal here is, the crucifixion of Jesus. And I am going to invite you into that crucifixion, into that death. I am going to bring you into this. And we'll get there on Good Friday. But he's pointing to it already. So we can view it through a second direction, and that's through the resurrection. We'll get to there on Easter. But he's already preparing us for that. We'll see when this all jumps into the disciples' head in a little bit. But for right now, he's pointing out, well, the money. They're trying to gain money on their own. They're selling these things at exorbitant prices. They want to exchange your currency for the currency that they use in the temple, and they're keeping exorbitant amounts for that. We can see the whip and connect that, the coins thrown across the temple floor where Jesus is now by Judas when he doesn't want the blood money, the trade of Judas for Jesus in the garden. You know, I'll give you, hand him over to you. All the things that are going on give us a little snippet of what's going to happen to Jesus. And in the midst of all this, Jesus lets them know, zeal for your house will consume me. It's going to overwhelm us. When we're so wound up about the stuff of the world that people do and what things are happening by things that are created by governments and people and institutions, when those consume us, we're no longer talking about Jesus. And he ought to come after us with a whip because we've got it wrong. He's inviting us to join him in the temple of the death and the resurrection. Not on the mistakes of people, not on what people had to offer, not on what goes on in an event. He wants us in that death and resurrection, and that's where he places us. We need to be in that death because of our sin, because we don't have anything to offer except for our sin. And so it places there at that crucifixion because that's what we bring. We bring our offenses. We bring what we have let him down. We bring him our foibles, our anger. We bring him our stiff-neckedness. We bring him all of the wrong actions, all of the wrong words, all of the wrong situations. And there they become crucified with him. And then he brings us into the resurrection of forgiveness. And of course, the Jewish leaders out there, well, what signs do you have to show us all these things? And of course, Jesus answers, destroy this temple in 3 days, I shall raise it up again. Now, no one really catches on this side of the resurrection what this all means for us, that he's beckoning us, calling us to himself as the new temple. It's not about the brick and mortar. It's not about the 40 years of construction. It wasn't about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls around there and all the Old Testament people looking and working hard to build that temple, the place of worship. And then Jesus comes in and he raises it to a new bar. It's no longer about the building. Now it is about you in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ becoming the temple of the Lord. And he's calling us to be that temple. Calling us to be the temple of the Lord in a wilderness by taking up our cross and following him. The disciples got to this later on. In John's case, 3 years later. In the other disciples of this, it was just a few weeks later. When he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered and they believed that scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. It all clicked. It wasn't about the stuff of the world. It wasn't about Jesus overcoming the Roman government. It wasn't about cleansing the temple and doing the things of man there. It's about what he does to us in making us the new temple of the Lord. It is now who we are as a temple of the Lord. So now we see this through the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples did that for us. They said, take it right to the resurrection of Jesus. Look through this and discover your identity. Someone who is a sinful person, receiving the forgiveness of sins, and basking in the joy of thy salvation in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whatever that sin may be, whatever that letdown may be, whatever that problem may be, when we view it through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we see it in our temple, the temple of the Lord, as St. Paul would say to us as well. Now, we too are that temple of the Lord, Paul would say. Don't you know that you're the temple of the Lord? For 300 years in the early church, there was no structures. There was no places of worship other than where they could gather together. There was no gathering together in large numbers because everything was illegal. You could get told on by your neighbor, and it happened many, many times. The early church knew that the temple was not brick and mortar. It was themselves. When that clicked in, that was truly an amazing event. So what happens to the temple? Well, the temple is a place where corruption is driven out. The place where the hotel church is driven out, the restaurant church is driven out, the make me cozy is driven out into being the temple of the Lord, the grace of Jesus in a wilderness of us being the light of Jesus because we've taken up the cross and we follow him by being the light of grace in the lives of other people. This is the distinction between the temple of the Lord and the rest of the world. We are the grace, the light of Jesus Christ in the midst of a world that needs Jesus desperately. So he raises us up as that new temple. All through the Old Testament, we see there is David going to build a house, Solomon going to build a house, who's going to build the temple, the place of the, you know, and then the temple's destroyed, and they go out into all these tabernacles, and they're building all these things, and then the synagogues come along, and finally Jesus says, the temple is my people. Somehow we switch that back, and now suddenly it's all about the place of brick and mortar again. And we get these texts of John and many others that say, no, you are the temple of the Lord. Come follow me. You're the new temple. You are the hands and the feet of Jesus and the love of God. This is his teaching when he cleanses this. This is not this place where we gather together to do the things that glorify us. It's the place where we glorify God with every morsel of our thinking, every morsel of our heart, every morsel of our hands, every morsel of our tongue is to glorify God. That when we speak, it is a reflection of his grace and mercy on and off the cross. Whoops, I jumped a little bit there. So the invitation goes out there. Come and follow me. We are absolutely that new temple. Because Jesus built it. He's the one who created it. He came and made us that temple of his body of Christ. It is good to sing in the house of the Lord with all the other temples gathered together, wherever they may be across this earth, because they are blessed and sanctified by Christ, who has taken us from no people to be his people, taken us from only offering our sin to be an offering in his name to the world, taking us from having only dust to look forward in the future. But now he made us a temple with an eternal mansion prepared for us in his eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. We continue with the confession of our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. The congregation, please rise. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And was one Lord Jesus Christ, begotten Son of God, begotten not Father, before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And a third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather together in your name today and bring with boldness our prayers before you. We know that you are a jealous God and save the third and the fourth generations that will come even after us from your punishment by filling us with your Son, with his love and forgiveness. You brought us out of slavery to sin through Christ, whom you have made to us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, redemption. You've blessed us all with it. Bless all whom you send to proclaim Christ crucified to us. that we may ever know and live in the truth of your power in his cross. Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households and husbands and wives, that they would in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in their fear and the children with honor of their parents and will be equipped for service to their neighbors in life through love towards you. We ask you bless the Treehouse Preschool and all those who work together in that ministry, from young and old. Bless all the hearts and the hands that touch the lives as we seek to bring the light of Jesus into the lights of people through that avenue. Be with Elizabeth and her staff and her family as they serve you in the splendor of your gospel of Jesus Christ. O Lord of perfect law, you have called us to honor all those in authorities, that it might go well with us alone in this land. Bless all those who watch over and govern us in your stead. Make them wise to your ways, that your justice may be upheld among us, and help to serve and obey them in accordance to your will. Lord, bless us this day and make us your holy people as you give us your holy gifts. You are our rock and redeemer. As 3 days after the temple of your son's body was destroyed by wicked men, you raised it up again on that day of resurrection, and we look forward to that last day as well. But Lord, be with all those who call upon our congregation for your presence and power. Be with Ruth and Barb and Lillian and Linda, Nancy and Peggy and Tom and Barb and Darkin and Sawyer, Anita and Doris and Helen and Joan, Paul, Bob, Nancy, and Reverend Steve Anderson, Idris, and Sue as well. Be with the family of Judy Steimel, who has passed away this past week. Encourage and uplift them with the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of your resurrection for each of us. Bless us all in your holy name as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.